Good evening, boys and girls, and welcome to The Witching Hour. And I am your host, Delia, and you just tuned into Delia's Dark Side here at Skid Row Studios at skidrowstudios.com. So just before my show, I just did a little segment with Jimmy Cabs. I hope you guys were listening, and I hope you enjoyed that. He clowned me a little bit, telling me that my shit was a little Disneyland as far as my fetishes go. I mean, I'm into, you know, the fetishes and stuff, you know, like we touch on fetishes here on my show. I love to talk about necrophilia and all that stuff. Although I'm not a dead fucker, a cold fucker. I don't like to fuck dead people, but I love to hear about it. And I love when people share stories with me about it. Later on in the show, she's running a little bit late. We're going to have Dr. Lamore Blockman. You guys know her from the sexy show, Sexindipity. The very sexy sexologist will be here joining me. And also on the show today, we're going to have Richard Elfman, the founder of Mystic Nights, and Oingo Boingo, big brother of Danny Elfman, the lead singer in Oingo Boingo, is going to be calling in and promoting his show, his new movie, actually, Forbidden Zone 2. So we got a pretty epic show for you guys. So, I'm going to be touching on a few fetishes that have been brought to my attention. I've actually been doing some research on some of these fetishes, and some of them I haven't really heard on. I wanted to get the sexologist in here to kind of, reiterate some of the stuff that people are, you know, into. A lot of them, automatophilia is one that I was kind of into because I remember as a little girl, like, I don't know if you guys remember me talking about a while back that I liked to fuck objects when I was a little kid. One of the objects I didn't really bring, I didn't really talk about last week or the other week when I was talking about different things that I liked to stick up my vagina when I was a little kid, but one of them was a brush. You know, little girls out there like to stick brushes up their coochie. Yeah, it feels good. And also, I used to be obsessed with fucking dolls and stuff like that. So there is a fetish on here that I would like to touch on a little bit later on. Automatophilia, which is obsession with having sex with like robots, dolls, and things of that nature. And we touched bases last week. I had Goth Mark on the show, and we were talking about, you know, my crazy sex escapades when I was a little girl, and, you know, it was a little bit of, I thought I was pretty, you know, badass as far as, like, you know, being my sexuality and shit go, because I started, you know, pretty young. But I get in here, and this motherfucker had bitches pissing on him, shitting on him. I'm like, well, I don't know. I wouldn't be against shitting on someone. I just don't want them shitting on me. That's nasty. I've seen it happen. I've talked to people on the phone when I was a phone sex operator. You know, guys would tell me, you know, they love, you know, women to shit on them. And then they love to rub it all over their bodies and shit. And the smell, girl. The smell, they would just get intoxicated by the smell. And they would, you know, get off on that shit. I can't be down with that. I mean, I might as well go roll around in my fucking cat's litter box. My cat likes to shit all over the fucking place. So before I have a human shit on me, let alone my husband, because he has a shit all the time. If I wanted to, I can get that motherfucker to shit on me. No problem. But before I do that, you know, I might as well just have my fucking cat shit on me because he likes to shit all over the fucking place, you know? So, or drinking piss or anything like that. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Piss is not that bad. It tastes like lemonade, so, you know. Come on, you know you tested your piss when you were a little girl. Jenny, you can chime in if you want to.
I actually didn't. I don't remember ever thinking of having a fetish like that.
No.
Not a fetish, it's just
curiosity. Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
You never had a curiosity about what your shit tasted like when you were.
Definitely not that. That was not appealing at all. Nor would I want anyone to do that on me. Nor would I want to do that to someone else. I wouldn't want to torture someone in that way. That's torture.
Yeah, it was pretty
messy cleanup.
We were fucked
stinks.
Up when we were kids, though. I remember we made this little girl like eat her shit. We bullied her and made her eat her shit. God. We were 7 years old. We were bad.
What did you... how did you convince her?
We put, like, some salt and pepper on it. We made her dig it out of the toilet. It was like, you know, a little Mr. Hanky, like, full of...
And this was a dare.
Yeah, it was like a solid turd. We told her that we'll let her into our group. You know, we had our little badass seven-year-old
middle
group.
School...
Yeah, that was a seven. We were 7 years
kids
old.
Are so mean.
We weren't even middle school. We were elementary.
Oh yeah, elementary.
We were fucking bullying people, making them eat shit.
Kindergartners are even mean nowadays.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I know. They're even worse now.
Not wanting to take naps next to each other or sharing their crayons.
I know.
That's where it all starts.
I guess we should have felt bad because she ended up being sick for about 3 days
yeah,
or whatever
no
for
kidding.
Eating her shit. We didn't tell her to like digest it, motherfucker. Just taste it.
Just taste.
Yeah, we put salt and pepper on it.
And she actually just took it down. Like
yeah, she's
a man,
like, she's
like a boss.
Like half of it, like, aren't.
Oh, no.
And it was like all over her mouth and shit, and her breast smelled all shitty.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Let's see, another thing that I used to do when I was a kid, I used to like to fuck like the edge of the wall. Like, I'm looking, like, at the edge of this wall right here, and I'm like, that looks kind of tasty right now. But
you
I was
like, humping it, right?
No, like, I would pull down my pants and spread my little coochie lips and rub.
And it
felt good.
That way?
I got off. I don't know what was coming out, but I know, like, you know, you get that little, you know how it feels when you're having an orgasm. Yeah, like that. But, you know, I was too young to be having an orgasm. I mean, if I was a guy, I'd be real bad. I'd be like poking holes in beds and putting Vaseline in there. Like, I'd be all creative. So as a girl, I was pretty fucked up. So I thought I was pretty badass as far as like, you know, experiment with the sexuality. Then, you know, as time, you get older and time goes on and shit just gets more crazy. Motherfuckers are like shitting and pissing on each other. And, you know, like that two girls, one cup shit. Like that, you know?
No.
Yeah.
No, that's yeah. just gross.
I had some pretty sexy times, but not that damn sexy.
Yeah, I feel like I would never. I wasn't even thinking about, I don't know. I don't really have many memories of my younger sexual, like, thoughts or actions, really. I think it'll come to me soon. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably just mentally block it out.
Yeah, I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And it was probably because it was a very strict household for me. So I was never in like a... I was never exposed to sex in such a crazy way how kids nowadays experience
right.
it. Like, I always tell people, I was thinking about shaving my legs and doing my eyebrows when I was in eighth grade. Now kids are having sex in the school bathroom in eighth grade.
Under the bleachers and shit, like... One of my husband's friends told us that like somebody took a video of the 16-year-old girl getting anal from some 16-year-old boy under the bleachers.
That's ridiculous.
You're fucking in the ass at 16?
That's ridiculous.
I wouldn't even, like, my ass was way off limits at 16. I wasn't even thinking about my ass. Like, exit only, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah no, it's kids these days.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too much sexist sex going on.
Yeah. Now it's way too. It's way too accepted.
It's crazy. Yeah. But I guess like this show brings up a lot of like my childhood past because I think about a lot of shit and I'm like, damn, I was really fucked up, you know. Then I always worked in the sex industry too, like either, you know, being a exotic dancer or, you know, phone sex operator.
What was the craziest how would you say the craziest flirt that a guy gave you when you were working?
The craziest
phone sex
flirt?
Yeah, like the weirdest, like, I don't want to talk to you, but it's my job right now. Or was that all the time?
It was pretty much all the time. Like, some of it, like, some days I was just like, you know what? I really don't feel like talking about this shit today. Like, I really can't get into it. But there was this one really crazy guy, like, I remember I was really tired and I wanted to get off, and they made me work like about another hour or so because they couldn't, I guess they were short staffed. And I really wanted to get off the phone, and this guy, he was like really creepy. He kind of sounded like, kind of reminded me of like a killer, like some kind
that's
of,
not cool.
Yeah, like,
and you're supposed to keep them on until yeah. they can't, right?
Yeah. And he wanted me to be like, he wanted me to be like he was had me like bondaged or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he wouldn't let me off the phone. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird because he kind of got in my head a little bit. Plus, I was a little bit tired, too. Yeah, and he was just like saying, you say you are my master. And I was like, I don't feel like doing this shit right now. I really want to curse you the fuck out, but I know I'll get fired.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you, I mean, you know, it's kind of fun at the time, but that particular time I really just didn't. And it just really creeped me out.
Yeah.
Like the shit that he was saying, you know, he was like, you know, he was just like very being really, really creepy. Like it was like I was talking to Richard Ramirez or somebody.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it was fucked up. So
that's creepy.
Yeah. But yeah, so any other crazy stories or anything? Let's see. So yeah, we got Richard Elfman should be calling in pretty soon. And I guess I'm going to take a little break here and see if Dr. Lamour is around the corner. She's okay. Great. All right. So Dr. Lamour is coming in. So I'm going to take a little break here. And when we come back, Dr. Lamour from Sexindipity will be joining me. Endless mornings combine the dawn razor. Whipping the nightmares to a froth. Endless questions with no answers. No replacement for what's been lost. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on the dark side, and we have the lady in the house, Miss Gorgeous, Sexy Sexologist, Miss Lamour Blockman from Sexindipity. How are you, gorgeous?
Good, honey. You're so beautiful yourself. How are you?
I'm good.
Great
I'm
to
good.
Be here.
I'm glad to have you on my show, finally. I yeah. have a lot to touch on.
Oh, please, be my guest.
So, Jenny and I were just having a conversation before the break that...
Yeah.
We were talking about different fetishes. I just did a little segment with Jimmy Cabs.
Okay.
And remember, I was telling you that I want to talk about like different fetishes and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
But these are disgusting fetishes that I want to talk about.
Okay. That sounds promising.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you know about my show, but I like to talk about one of the main subjects I like to talk about is necrophilia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do know that.
You do know that. Yeah, and like I was telling Jimmy Cabs how I got started on that, how that just totally blew my mind was my father used to be a mortician.
Okay.
And I asked him one day, you know, have you ever walked in on someone having sex with a dead person?
Yes.
And he told me that he knew a mortician that
used to do that.
Have you ever had a client that was into that type of shit?
Well, it is that type of, yeah, it is an interesting trait to have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say that I've come across almost everything. I had a client that kind of alluded to it. He didn't really say that that was his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of suspected that that was.
Yeah.
And in reference to what you said to the mortician, mm-hmm. I find that even subconsciously, we kind of have the tendency to choose either, you know, occupations or things to do in general, even habits,
right,
that, you know, or hobbies that we kind of drawn to, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And if someone is a mortician, it's most likely, you know,
they
want to
have sex
with something
but
that has to do with it.
Isn't it like when you're dead, I heard that, you know, you lose that luster, like you don't have
it's
that.
It's true, you don't.
But I don't know, like I've read, like the reason why certain people have this, they want to do this is because a lot of them can't get live women or men,
right,
or whatever. So
right,
they go to the dead because they can't break away. They can't say stop.
Right.
Yeah.
And also because, you know, there's no rejection in this matter,
right,
and a lot of other things. But I tend to think that, and we can talk about fetishism in general.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think that, and this one in particular, that it has to be more than the fact that you hate rejection and you hate confrontation or whatever,
mm-hmm,
because it's really intense. I mean, to really have sex with a dead body.
Yeah.
I don't know if you seen a dead body? Have you been in the presence of,
I've
well,
seen
because
dead bodies
of your father.
Yeah.
Of course. So, and I, when I went to medical school,
mm-hmm,
we had to dissect some. So mm-hmm, it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it's so terrible,
yeah,
you know, just to be in the presence of, for someone that really has no connection to that,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's kind of bad. And so if you are actually going to go into a whole session with a dead body, it has,
yeah,
to be really fascinating to you more than the lack of ability to interact. But I do believe that people that are mostly, you know, that go through the whole medical system and really went through the whole educational factor,
mm-hmm,
and then they choose to practice with dead bodies,
uh-huh,
rather than anything else, has to be a fascination with that. I mean, more than just the,
yeah,
you know, rejection factor.
Right. I would think so more because I've even read that women do it. I would think that, okay, men, yeah, I understand that. But
right,
women are able to pretty much get anybody, fuck anybody they want to.
That is very true. Just the fact that you have a vagina,
yeah,
kind of acquires,
yeah, you know. I mean, some men might have to be drunk to fuck certain women, but you know,
right,
you
but
can get
very easy. Yeah, that is correct. It's true. Well, it is, again, going back to the fact that you mentioned that there are women that do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is less common,
mm-hmm,
though, as like in any other fetishism. You know, the majority of fetishists are men.
Right.
And, you know, whether it is very intense ones or you know, more softer ones, but it's still more intense for men, and the majority is men and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that your example is very prime, that if a woman does that, it has to do with some sort of
something
paraphilia.
Mental.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
So we were also talking to, like when I was a kid,
yeah,
I used to have this obsession with, it's called right here, I've looked it up, it's called agamotophilia.
Okay.
Like having sex with dolls.
Yeah.
I used to have a... I had this life-size doll when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, I used
was
to...
Was that a female
it
doll?
It was a female doll, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of, I mean, looked like me, but obviously she was cuter. She was about 3 feet
she
tall.
She wasn't.
And I used to have sex with this doll. I mean, panties off.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with this doll. I used to fuck
so
this doll.
So would you like hump her?
Hump her with without any. Sometimes with clothes on, dry hump her. But most of the time, my underwear was off.
Really?
And I was telling my audience once that I got caught one night,
yeah,
by my dad.
Oh my God! And he's like, "What is she doing?"
Yeah, he came in to tuck me in, and I was like humping my doll. I had my panties down, and so he like walked in the room, so I jumped off my doll real quick and I didn't have time to pull my panties up. So he pulls the covers back and he sees his little brown ass all over.
That is priceless.
He was like, Monique, because that's what I go by out here. He goes, Monique, you better not ever let me see you doing that again. What are you doing?
But you, of course, kept on doing it.
I did keep on doing it.
Yes.
And I also had obsessions with, like, objects. Like, I used to fuck the...
Fascinated.
You know, the edge of the broom, you know?
Yeah.
Though,
okay.
Actually, we had a hokey. Well, you know what a hokey is?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
What I used to do is adjust it. I used to lay my little ass up on the edge of the bed. I had, like, all kinds of sexual, like...
Well, it's very common for kids to do, for females especially. Yeah.
So I was wondering, is something wrong with me? Because now look at me now.
No, you're wonderful. You're perfect. No, the thing is, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. In terms of fetishism, and that goes back to Alfred Binet, that actually kind of, you know, decided on how to define it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that fetishism is something that really, you know, the name of it, the definition of it, is kind of very vast because everybody has an obsession with something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it is troublesome to your life and kind of harmful,
right,
then it might turn into what in the DSM they call paraphilia, which is then, you know, sort of a mental condition that you deal with and you're fully occupied with and kind of harms your life and harms mm-hmm. your relationships or your occupation or whatever you do in your daily life. But in terms of fetishism, most people are kind of inclined to deal with something more preferably or less preferably. And he said he put it into kind of terminology that was very easy to relate to. And he mm-hmm. said that most people have what he called spiritual love, which is the being drawn to someone, whether for their occupation, for something that they look like, for right. their position or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's plastic love. And plastic love really kind of covers everything, whether it is body parts or objects, shoes, I don't know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is. He actually even defined it even more accurately. And he said that if you're fascinated with a certain body part, and I know a lot of boob men.
Right.
So,
boobs and yeah, ass.
Or ass or yeah. foot or, you know, foot binding is, mm-hmm. is based on that. But the whole idea is, so if it is something that has to do with a body part, mm-hmm. he called it partialism.
Okay.
And that was his definition. But in general, if it's not troublesome to your life, and these days, honestly, there are so many forums and so many places that you can go and kind of practice your fetishism
right.
calmly and you know, accepted mm-hmm. in an accepted way and everything. So if it doesn't really bother your life, it's not even a paraphilia and you shouldn't be really concerned with it, you know? So,
right.
yeah, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
Because I was saying, too, that I was a little lesbian up until, like, I had sex for the first time when I was 17.
Mm-hmm. That's even late.
Because I experimented
kind of.
Very young with women. Let's say I was molested by women, you know, babysitters.
Age?
Very young.
Very young.
Yeah.
So like under 10.
Way, like. Mm-hmm.
Like a toddler, like kind of.
Six, like even maybe younger than me, four,
mm-hmm.
4 years old.
Yeah, that's kind of a toddler.
By other women, so yeah.
So, but in regards to your... I don't know if I may call it bisexuality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most women are, you know, when
yeah.
it comes to women, most women, female sexuality is fluid. Mm-hmm. And so on that note, it's innate. Most women are innately and naturally bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are, you know, acting on it or not,
right.
that's a different story. And most of them are kind of intimidated or even confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you may see someone who is attractive and you kind of feel, oh, well, this doesn't fall into the format that I'm used to. I'm aroused by dick, you know?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah.
What is this?
I think I'm aroused by both now. So.
Yes, nobody makes sense because
yeah.
most women are.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're an open woman and you,
yeah.
you know, you're not narrow-minded,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel the need to kind of, you know, push it away. But
right.
most women are. Not the same for men.
Yeah.
Men are not. And so, but as I said, you know, most fetishists are men. Just because, and this is another part of these theories that have to do with fetishism, they found that men have the tendency to connect certain objects to an activity. That means that if for someone, and I'm taking like for your example, if
uh-huh.
your example, if for someone, the blanket or a doll or something like
uh-huh.
that was a source of masturbation as a child, for a guy, Okay. It's most likely for a male, most likely that they'll search for something similar mm-hmm. in their adult life. And lacking that arousal, that stimulation, it might cause them to not get aroused or to not really carry through or to not get an erection or other versions of lacking. Okay. That is specific to men. Because women can, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Because women can get aroused no matter what. I mean, I always say that men are much easier in getting an erection, but it's much easier for them to lose it.
Okay.
Any sort of disturbance can kill it for men.
Wow. This is really deep. So we're going to get back into the deepness of sex. But I didn't have a chance to tell you, but Richard Elfman is going to be calling in. He's the founder of Mystic Nice and Oingo Boingo. He's on hold right now.
Okay.
So we're going to go to break and then come back with to Richard Elfman right after this.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, we are back from our break, and this is Delia's Dark Side. And also, if you want to call in, the number is 800-893-9562. And we got the very infamous Mr. Richard Elfman on the line.
Why, hello, Delia's Dark Side.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
This is Elfo's Red Side. I was listening to a little bit of the show. Quite fascinating, young lady.
Thank you.
The topics you guys are delving into there.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't know if you knew my show touches a lot on necrophilia and different fetishes and stuff. So, yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
So we got Richard Elfman on the phone right now. He is the founder of Mystic Nights and Oingo Boingo, and he's a good friend of ours. We hang out and party sometimes. We go see Dead Man's Party, right?
That's right. I love that band, and
we always get drunk and
have a good time.
Yeah, we always have a good time when we're hanging out with you. So,
by the way, we've got a joint show that I'm doing with Dead Man's Party for everyone in Southern California at the Frida Theater in Santa Ana, Friday night, 11 p.m., April 18th, that we're going to screen Forbidden Zone, and group formed from the Rocky Horror Show is doing a live shadow cast. I'll be in the shadow cast playing the devil.
And
Monsieur, the same roles I do in the film. Well, actually, my brother does. Mm-hmm. And Dead Man Party is going to open the show with a concert.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually, because I was on the Facebook this morning, and I saw that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and then we're going to hang out after, and everyone's going to get drunk and party.
Oh, well, you know, we'll be there. I think my husband was telling me that he wanted to, go to that, I think. So I think we're going to try to make that.
Yeah, so anybody with an Oingo Boingo fetish.
Yeah.
That's everybody.
Well, I do have a fetish for redheads. I just have to let you know.
Oh, that's clownia.
Yeah.
I want to be ravaged by a degenerate clown. By Richard Elfman.
Awesome. Yep, that's true. So,
although it's I always wear devil horns on Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And I do other things with them. You know, I'm Jewish, so I can get away with this. Like, 1 year, I wore the devil horns with a Jewish yarmulke. Uh-huh. What are you? And I said, a lawyer.
Brilliant.
But anyway, they ask me, like you know, when do the horns come off? And I say, like, yeah, someone will usually knock them off around in the throes of passion.
Yeah, I remember I met you, actually. You had the devil's horn at one DMP show, I think, at the Galaxy.
Oh, it must have been a Halloween show.
Yeah, it was a Halloween show. That's the one where you picked me up and you were, like, grabbing my boob.
Uh-oh.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you didn't mean to, but it would kind of just, like, happen that way. You, like, picked me up.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
No, I want to give a shout-out to Miss Anastasia DeMond. Is she there?
She's in the other... Well, I can get her.
No, it's okay. No, I just want to say hello. That's okay.
Audrey. there's a shout-out to the lovely, vivacious Anastasia DeMond. Let me give you her for a moment.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Gorgeous DeMond. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just having an awesome time with your husband, your fiancé there.
Well, don't have too good a time or I'm bound to get jealous.
Oh, I know. Well, we can all go join in together, you know.
Okay, all thanks right. So much.
No
I'm
problem.
Gonna give him back. He looks anxious.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, still my meeting number.
Oh. I love it. So tell us a little bit about Forbidden Zone 2.
Oh, nothing much except original music by Danny Elfman.
Cool.
Jenna Elfman, who, well, along with my son Bodie Elfman, she's a former professional dancer, but I mean big time.
Right.
Danced on the Academy Awards. She danced for Twyla Tharp, for Debbie Allen.
Ooh.
So she's going to do this aerial ballet, a comedic aerial ballet, the Ballet of the Chicken.
Oh, okay.
And choreographed by Cirque du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also going to play a school teacher, but as a kind of a Rocky-esque Frankenfurter. She's going to play it as a male tranny with her voice pitched down. And Danny's writing her some music. The question is, whose voice will really be coming through her lips when she sings?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and yours truly, I'm going to play like a degenerate circus geek.
Of course.
I love that.
And when I bite the head off my daughter's pet chicken, things go south from there, let me tell you.
Kind of an Aussie thing.
Oh, that's my pet chicken. And the chicken's going, help me, I don't want to die. And Ma says, but we got to eat, daughter. And don't worry, your pa's a pro at this, you know. So, you know, it's a very poignant film.
Love it. I love Psychotic Clowns, too, so I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, and there'll be lots of music. By the way, everybody, go to ForbiddenZone2.com, and you can see all kinds of videos that we've done and some preview music for the film, and we're doing a fundraiser, ForbiddenZone2.com.
Is that the one on the 18th?
No. That's the site we have with the fundraiser.
Oh, Indigo. Oh, Indiegogo. Okay.
But it's got all these hot, wild videos, although they might be too sexy for some people. So I recommend it for everybody.
If they're my fans that are going there, then I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, no.
It'd be right up their alley.
We've got Princess Polly. Okay, let me tell you about Princess Polly.
Okay.
She's 17. She's petulant. She has a boner-causing body, but a monster head. And she can only get off if she basically almost kills the guy.
That's
in a breathing
perfect.
Fire with mouth coming out of her nose and stuff. And she's really just a poor girl looking for love, even if she has to kill him after she fucks him.
Oh, so she's a necrophiliac too. Awesome.
Yeah.
No. She just likes to almost kill. Well, no, she kills him by accident sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Just for
excited.
Fun.
That sounds...
Yeah, she ties them down and stuffs their throat full of Viagra.
Fuck!
Just to maintain their boner when she kills them.
Yeah, poor little Stinky. That's Petunia's the one who lost the chicken. She's kind of a lumbering... we describe her as like a Ozark Daisy May,
uh-huh.
Barefoot teenage slut. and her little brother Stinky gets busted in class for masturbating.
Awesome.
And, he's sent to Dr. Yodelbean's office where he's getting testicular shock therapy for as a sex aversion treatment, and he inadvertently kills the doctor, gets chased into the forbidden zone, and captured by the princess and made a love slave. And the first episode, when she ravages him, it's so bad, he swears he'll never jerk off again.
Oh, God. It's not bad. Oh, my God. That sounds like it's totally up my alley. I cannot wait for this. I got to see this.
You know, and there's going to be, like, tons of music.
Awesome. And it's all going to be from Danny Elfman?
Yeah, there'll be original Danny Elfman music,
okay.
Kind of similar formula to Forbidden Zone. And then I go through thousands of old classics,
okay,
to find stuff so catchy that you'll never get it out of your head.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. This sounds great. So
anyway, anyone in Southern California, please come to the Frida Cinema Friday, April 18th at 11 p.m. for a concert by Dead Man's Party, then a Forbidden Zone live shadow cast. I'll be there getting drunk and signing stuff afterwards. And I want everybody to go to ForbiddenZone2.com to see the latest hot videos. ForbiddenZone2.com.
Awesome. Yeah. I watched a little bit of the trailer from Forbidden Zone, the original, this morning, and I was pretty intrigued, actually. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Especially yeah, yeah, go ahead.
It stood the test of time, apparently.
Yeah.
Like our little Energizer bunny.
Yeah, I got to sit and watch the whole movie and then get into Forbidden Zone, too. This sounds just fucking amazing. So.
Yeah, although the Energizer Bunny better not come by Forbidden Zone 2, because Papa Joop the Geek might bite its head off.
He's biting heads and everything. Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that is Richard Elfman, everybody. Thank you so much. I know you had a lot to do today, and I'm just thank you so much for taking the time out to call Delia's Dark Side and hang with us for a little bit and make us laugh.
Thank you, and I'll see you at the show Friday, April 18th, Delia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, big hug to everybody.
Yay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye,
Richard.
Bye.
That was so cool.
It was. It was very Ozzy Osbourne of him.
Yeah.
To bite the chicken.
I know. Wow.
Yeah. So we were talking. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we were talking about the fetishes, different fetishes and
yeah.
stuff. Now, I want to talk about. I did a show a couple weeks ago, actually, and I was talking about swingers
yes.
and things like that.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I want to be a swinger, damn it? I want to be a swinger.
Let me swing, God damn it. Yeah, well, you know, it depends who you're asking. Because if you're asking the sex therapist
right.
as a professional, unfortunately, I didn't come across many success stories when it comes right. to swinging. And the mere reason is, not for the sake of, the lack of enjoyment in sexual activity. Of course, you know, if you come as a couple that is not necessarily practicing coupledom, but you come as two people that want to share that experience,
right.
even friends hanging out, then perfect. That's excellent. You can explore and be sexual and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation where you come as a couple that shares, I don't know, a relationship, a home, kids, whatever.
Right.
There's always, I didn't personally come across a situation where there's always one more interesting than the other. And that right. always creates a problem because the initiator mm-hmm. is the one that is more interested and the other one is kind of dragging along.
Right.
Now, the one that is dragging along could end up in two situations. One, that he's going to just play along and enjoy it and maybe enjoy it too much. To the extent that
True.
He's going to be the one that mm-hmm. will carry on a relationship.
Behind the back.
Okay. And carry an affair or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to turn into a jealous ride that nobody comes out, healthy out
yeah.
of. And it's always a problem. I suggest that if you do want to engage in swinging, mm-hmm. it should be really in a situation where you're not in an emotional relationship. Uh-huh. Because that usually is just, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. Jealousy is a healthy component of a relationship.
Right.
And usually causes problems.
I have a story about that, actually. This is a long time ago. I wanted to experience my first threesome.
Yeah.
So I was friends with this girl who was like very, very sexual, like, you know, like way out there.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that she was dating and he was, you know, open to like doing the threesome. So, you know, we went out and had fun, whatever, came back. We were in the act of, you know, having sex.
Yes.
And he was paying a lot of attention to me.
And she got upset.
She got upset because he kissed me on the lips.
And they had a rule that no kissing on the lips.
Well, they weren't really boyfriend and girlfriend. They were kind of just fucking. And her ex-occupation is she used to be a hooker.
Okay.
Okay, so
like so to her, woman, kissing on the lips
is like
a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she went back and told a friend of ours that, you know, she was like really bothered by the fact that when we were having sex, the guy like pulled me by my hair and kissed me on the lips or something.
Right.
And she got really bothered. She got really freaked out by that.
Yes.
And so she didn't want to see him again. And I thought that was weird because I'm like, you're supposed to be like the big freak here, you know, like nothing
Not
really
at
phases
all.
You.
Yeah. You're very right in mm-hmm. your perspective. But mm-hmm. I have to say that this is the confusing factor because, and that applies to women in the sex industry, mm-hmm. in other factors, you know, like, I don't know, in porn or right. other forms of sex for money and exchange, mm-hmm. usually, and I don't want to generalize, but usually a lot of these women come to be occupied in this field because of some lacking or because of abuse and other factors that mm-hmm. you kind of calculate into the picture.
Right.
And then once you are out of that zone, for instance, if you practice your own self-gratification, not in front of a camera or not in a, you know, on a stage or not on film, then mm-hmm. you tend to be the complete opposite. Maybe right. this little shy girl or maybe someone that will not engage in anything extreme, even to the extent of oral sex, uh-huh. not to mention anal sex. But for her, mm-hmm. the fact that he was affectionate with you and kissing yeah. on the lips means affection mm-hmm. was bothersome and she couldn't deal with it. And you know, the factor of the freak is only applicable yeah. for her when she engages in sex for money and right. you know, an exchange, but not on her private time. You see?
I get
that
it.
Was the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really threw me when she got jealous, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, because you know, just went into the experience, mm-hmm. just, you know, playing and experiencing, which yeah. is healthy and normal. But the fact, and you obviously, you know, it's very important that you mentioned that you used to hook. But, uh-huh. if, you know, yeah, I mean, if you do that, then yeah. you have to factor it in. I mean, yeah, she's not just a regular woman, you know, experimenting. And also, you know, that could happen too, because some couples or even fucking couples, just right. a couple that mm-hmm. has like activities going on.
There's still,
you know,
some emotion there.
There's still some emotion to begin with. Mm-hmm. And also, there are always some rules to that equation, you know?
Yeah.
No, you can't touch his penis here. You know, yeah. like I've been with like yeah. couples. Yeah, yeah, myself. And I remember, you know, like, no, don't touch this, don't touch this. It's like you have like a set of rules.
Yeah.
You know, how can you enjoy it? It's yeah. really redundant.
Like, we're just fucking, like, yeah. you, like yeah. all these goddamn
yeah,
ground
I was
rules.
Thinking about that, yeah.
yeah.
Let me just check the rules.
Yeah, and, like, I was, like, my husband and I, we had yeah. another similar situation. Well, not, he didn't really enjoy it. He didn't really get involved with it.
Right.
But there was a girl, I had a Memorial Day party a while back, and there was a girl, actually, when you were saying, like, some girls are, like, quiet or whatever, they're, like, closet freaks or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
This girl was a closet freak
mm-hmm.
because outside she was like, oh, I would never do that. I would never be with another girl. And after the party ended about 9 o'clock in the morning, the next morning, I was tired as fuck and I wanted to go to bed.
Yeah.
The bitch got into bed with me and then she started rubbing on me and
okay.
kissing on me. I'm like, wait, hold up. I thought you said you weren't into that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's rubbing on me and she's pretty hot. So, of course, I'm going to turn around and, you know,
okay,
I'm like,
let's
I was thinking with my fucking dick at that point.
Of course.
My little short dick. I was thinking, you know? So, yeah, we got into that. And my husband walks in, and he's like, got his glass of wine or whatever. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I want you guys to kiss. So he like grabbed both of our faces and just
put
like,
them together.
Yeah, put them together and made us kiss. But he did not get involved. He just wanted, he just wanted us
to watch.
Yeah, so he watched me scissor the fuck out of her.
Lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it happens a lot. A lot of women have, and that also, it's the same, it's just the other side of the same equation.
Mm-hmm.
The women that are very demure and very coy, you know, outside, and then you put them in a situation, they become ravenous, and they become, like, insane, and they want to, like, kill.
Yeah.
And that happens, too. But the ones that actually, you know, play the role of the sex goddess or someone that is, like, so out there and does everything, then in their private time, and I happen to interview porn stars, for that matter, and almost all of them said that they prefer the missionary position in their private life.
Okay.
They don't like to do any of these things.
I have something that I want to reveal since you said that.
Yeah.
I was going to wait a while. But...
Say it.
I actually participated in some porn films.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I interviewed them, all of them were, you know, in their private lives were very normal, you would say. None of them were interested in such wild, you know, it's a tasking thing. Because when they were working, you know, it was one thing, and I'm sure you can relate, even if you did little. You know, because you still feel.
Is 40 a little?
It's, yeah, you know.
Considering how by the
minute. It's a little. But yeah, you know that in your private time with your husband, for instance, sometimes you just want to have, you know, like a pleasant time. You don't necessarily want to go crazy and do all these things.
Right.
Most of them just claim that they like, you know, the missionary position. And they're not in love with, you know, with threesomes and foursomes and gangbanging. They're not necessarily into that. Yeah.
Or DP or anything like
that. Right, because, you know, you see it on film and you're like, oh, yeah, fuck, I'm dating this woman. I'm going to DP all over the place. All the time. And it's like you come across, the woman doesn't want to suck your dick, let alone, you know, have another guy suck her.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's controversial.
So, yeah, I just opened up on the dark side. Yeah, I was going to save that. So this is a perfect time to open that up.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I did about, like, 40 movies. But it was, like, not with a whole bunch of guys. I was dating this one guy. I don't know if you heard of him.
He was in the industry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? His name was Devil and Weed.
I'm sure I'm familiar.
Yeah,
but maybe face-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's in a black porn star. He did most of the, like, the black stuff. But he did most of the black stuff. No, he did. He crossed over too. But
he crossed over.
Yeah. Just before I was about to cross over, I got out of it because I got freaked out because this guy wanted me to do an anal scene.
Right.
With the guy. I don't know if you heard of Byron Long.
Sounds familiar.
He's a black guy and he's got like about 13 inches of dick. How the fuck do you expect to put that in somebody's ass?
No, you cannot. Any ass. You know, let alone a vagina, you know, the baby comes out of it. But your ass, I mean, your poor ass.
No. Like, no, I shit less than that fucking in 13 inches. How the fuck? And then the guy didn't want to pay me. He wanted to pay me, like, only, like, $800 or something.
Yeah,
like, when I know most girls.
That's the sad part. That it's not that compensating, you know, to begin with.
Right? No, and then I know most girls get at least $1,500 or something like that. For I was like,
depends on you if you're on contract. Yeah. There are many factors to it.
Yeah, and it's like, no, first of all, that's not going in my ass. And if you even expect that, you're going to have to fucking, like, numb my ass up, pay me some extra money.
And, you know, completely
sedate
you.
Yeah, I was like, that's when I thought. And then my agent at the time, he really, like, kind of stabbed me in the back. He kind of cut my throat. So I fired him, and I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I don't like that cutthroat bullshit, dude.
No.
I'm pretty much, like, down to earth. And, you know, I laid it down on the table, and that's it, you know. And,
because you're different than the average talent. I mean, most of them.
So I was like, okay, well, I know how fucking shifty
you
motherfuckers are.
To get out of it on time, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, plus I know that they just use a lot of the women
of course,
until they can't use you anymore.
it's a lot of abuse. You have very short shelf life, mm-hmm. mostly. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do go into directing and, you know, taking part in production and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's a very tasking, very painful, physically and emotionally mm-hmm. Field, for women especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know they just want to, like, use the pussy up till it's, like, fucking just, like, dripping and, like, hanging the lips. Like hanging down to the floor and like, no.
Yeah, it's like sad.
I still want my pussy to smile, so.
Right. It's such a beautiful smile. Yeah. It's an abuse to your body.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
So is there a difference between being polyamorous and being a swinger?
Yes, definitely.
What's the difference?
The difference is, and I had a whole show about the polyamorous world, mm-hmm. and I had a guy practices polyamory. Mm-hmm. The thing is this, because swinging is based on the sexual experience. Right. So most people that go into swinging are obviously interested in the sexual experience, and this is how I term it to make it very clear. Usually the sexual experience comes first, and then maybe a friendship. Mm-hmm. When it comes to polyamory, you are friends, mm-hmm. and you can have other friends, and you can have people that you don't necessarily have sex with, or just partial sex, or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the sexual part is really not the intense part, because in a triad or even a bigger situation where you have other factors, other people involved in this relationship, mm-hmm. not everybody's having sex with everybody. Some people are just viewers. Some people are just friendly. Some people, and usually there are two people that are the main couple, mm-hmm. and others that practice, you know, like a secondary part. So it just to make clear, when you are in a polyamorous relationship, mm-hmm. you have relationships with a few people, and that depends on how many you want to involve in this and right. what are your rules.
Mm-hmm.
But the sex part is trivial. It can be, and it can be not, and it can be not intense, and it can mm-hmm. be not all the time. But with swinging, it's mainly about sex. Yeah, that okay. is the difference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think that we can get my husband into me being a swinger? Because, I mean, I want to, he's had the experience of having me be with another woman.
Right.
But we ain't been able to bring no other dick into the...
I know, well, that's the difference. You're right on the money.
When he married me, he put like a fucking restraining order.
Of course, he put a chastity belt on you and threw the key.
I know.
The thing is, we've seen you with another woman. He's sexual and mm-hmm. arousing and everything. Mm-hmm. But seeing you with another man factors mm-hmm. in the jealousy factor, which right. I mentioned, and it is always there. I mean, it depends. Some people are more jealous. It really comes to, you know, where you come from and mm-hmm. how you're raised and other factors. But in general, it's really harder for men. There are men that can practice it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in polyamorous relationships. For instance, the guy that I had on my show claimed that he was taking a lot of pleasure in watching his wife getting fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his main thing, because he said that he was joking. He said, I'm not coming, I'm going. You know, uh-huh. it's like, I can't satisfy her and I want her to be happy. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is how I get my, you know, enjoyment. I like to see her getting fucked.
Right.
But most men have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like, just like when I was having that threesome with the girl, like I thought he was going to jump in, and I was like, I was so drunk. He didn't. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I am ready for this. Maybe I am. And he didn't do it. And I was like, oh, okay.
And even if he did join you, uh-huh. you were still having some pleasure with another woman.
Mm.
But there wasn't another dick involved.
No.
And that is the main factor.
No, he was just a viewer at that point.
Mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can discuss it.
Yeah, we can. So I find myself like masturbating more now because my husband and I aren't having very much sex lately.
Well, you know, how long have you been married?
We've been married going on 3 years. We've been together for going on 14.
Well, you know, so there you have it. The factor that you have been together for a very long time. No, it's just you get used to each other, yeah. which is just a matter of fact. It's not anything that you can ignore.
Right.
But you can still have a very fruitful, you know, enjoying yeah. a very good sex life. Just yeah. depends. So go ahead. Yeah. So you've been masturbating.
Yeah. Masturbating, thinking about like other things though. You know, because right. he masturbates. He goes upstairs and, you know, looks at porn on okay. the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got my own porn in my head. Like
that's
there's maybe a
that
hot guy.
You're so imaginative.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. It is good. It is very good.
So on that note, yeah, you know, so I've been doing that, and I don't want to cut into your time. So.
Well, you're going to come, and we're going to keep on discussing
this. So people stay tuned in, because we're going to into Sex and Dippity with the sexy Miss Dr. Lamour Blockman.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on my show. It was a blast.
For me, too.
And I can't wait to turn around and be on your show next.
Yay.
So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out. This is Delia's Dark Side.
Bye.
Delia's gone, one more round. Delia's gone.